Till Death Do Us Part is a lighthearted and sometimes satirical true crime podcast where we present our dysfunctional married take on serious cases involving other dysfunctional relationships. We hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to the 109th episode of Till Death Do Us Part.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Melissa. It feels like we haven't recorded in 3 years.
It is weird. We had to dust off the dust just to do this.
It's been like 2 weeks.
We did have a dust storm.
Not in the podcast room.
No, that's true.
But we're back.
We're all rested up, healthy.
No.
And relaxed.
Daniel has been sick for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, off and on. So that's
it's
that's
the weirdest fun. Thing.
Yeah, because I don't usually get sick.
Yeah, this is the guy that never gets sick. And then all of a sudden it's like, bam, 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 back to back. But you know what? It's not like he has to do very much. He just has to show up, sit down in his chair, and listen to me tell him a story.
That's true.
Be thankful for that, darling.
I am thankful.
All right. Well, I did ask our 11 listeners what they were thankful for this Thanksgiving season. And I did get a few responses, so I'm going to do the first six. And I did this over Instagram. Sometimes on Instagram, I post like a little question, and then I read it on the podcast. So
cool.
Craw Mama says, for my son being a relatively decent preteen, and the gem of Texas, our H-E-B grocery store.
H-E-B grocery store.
I think you say H-E-B, you don't say Heb.
I wouldn't think, no.
Yeah, okay. And then SPC67 says, my beautiful, healthy family and my new grandbaby that's coming in a couple of months.
Oh.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
That's so cool. My family, friends, job, and thankful for you guys. Listening to your podcast gets me through said job.
Oh.
As it should.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, that was from Sarah Lane at 83. And then Hyde2901 says, all six of my kids in the same place with me.
Goodness.
You are very lucky.
Bless your heart.
Yes.
Six.
That your kids want to all be together and be with you. Well, that's pretty cool.
It sounds like you succeeded.
And then Mrs. Storer 2017 says, I'm thankful for building a closer bond with my mother since becoming her caregiver.
Aw.
Thank you for being there for your mom.
Yeah.
That says a lot about you.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it.
Well, now, actually, that makes me feel better.
Does it?
Yeah, that's cool. I'm glad because everything's so negative.
It is.
And, yeah.
I thought maybe we should bring some positivity back to this podcast since we've probably been a little negative lately.
Well, I mean, it is such a joyous subject that we delve into.
Oh, that's true.
So, yeah, it's probably good. Let's look for the positive side of things.
Let's bring it up and not necessarily bring it down because it's going to come down on its own. That's for sure.
That's true.
All right, babe, you got some factoids for me?
Yes, but you told me to do them. So those of you that were hoping you'd get an original thought from Mr. Daniel... It's not.
He's not feeling well, so I thought I would just help him out and tell him what he should talk about.
I feel fine. No, not really. But I did go to work today because that's what I do when I don't feel good. Because why would you want to be home and not feel good when you could go to work and make money and not feel good? So.
And be a joy when you get home.
I am a joy.
You're easy. You're always easy.
What are
easy.
You talking about? I'm fine.
Okay.
Anyway, so this lovely lady sprung on me. I want you to do top pies for Thanksgiving.
No, at first I said do sides. Like America's favorite sides or Thanksgiving's best sides. And then you said, no, that's boring. And I said, okay, then do like best pies.
Now I want pie. It was either going to be food related or like adult aerobic positions. So we're going with pies.
Yeah, let's do pie.
All right. So anyway.
I'd rather eat the pie.
Sure.
Than try the positions.
Right.
Okay, go.
Number nine. Oh, and BTW. This is from Food Network.
Oh.
Your number one source for all things food. No, I don't know.
That's a good tagline.
Your number one source for all things food. Food Network. Here we go. Number nine. Cranberry pie. Yeah, that sounds about right. Number nine.
I've never heard of cranberry pie before.
It's too...
Is it just like a normal pie or does it have cream on it?
No, and here's a picture, which helps those of you listening. It looks like a cherry pie, but it's cranberries. So it's cranberries. They're very tart.
I wonder if you use the stuff in the can. Just
I'm assuming the ingredients call for 2 cups of cranberries, 14 cups of sugar, and then pie filling of some sort. Yeah, anyway. Number nine.
No cranberries in a can.
But if you get real cranberries, they're almost unedible. Inedible?
Yeah, because you have to add a ton of sugar. Edible.
Yeah, they're pretty tart.
And citrus.
Very tarty. Number eight, cherry. Not my favorite. I don't like cherry pies.
I love a cherry pie.
You're my cherry pie.
She's my cherry pie.
It depends, I think, on how it's cooked, but store-bought cherry pies, not my favorite.
Well, you got to put ice cream on them. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah. I like cherries, but I don't like cherry pie. I don't know. Okay, another one of my favorites, sweet potato pie. No, never had a sweet potato pie.
I've never had a sweet potato pie.
How was that number seven?
How have we never had sweet potato pie?
Is it much different than a pumpkin pie? I mean, it's, probably. Well, no, because it's a root vegetable versus a squash, which is...
Okay, we need to try a sweet potato pie this year. Right. We just do.
Maybe this is a good factoid, because look at what this is doing.
It's making my mouth water.
Creating controversy between us, which is good.
Which never happens.
Well, it's like foreplay with food.
Oh.
Number six. Okay, here we go. Now we're talking. Strawberry pie.
I do not like strawberry pie.
What is strawberry pie from?
Strawberries.
No, think the movie, which is why you can't have it.
Oh, is it from Thinner?
It is from Thinner. Absolutely.
He does have a strawberry pie at the end.
I can't think if I've ever, and if I have, I can't remember the last time I had a piece of strawberry pie.
No, isn't that more of like a summer tradition, like watermelon?
I don't know, but it sounds fabulous. I love strawberries.
I've never had one. Okay, so, there's another one to make or buy.
I love strawberry shortcake and I never have it.
You do?
Yes, absolutely.
Because I've never basically heard this before.
That's what this is. A lot you of like cream.
Strawberry shortcake.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
All right. Good thing to know after 22 years.
The shortcake is not sweet. I mean, the cake part.
No, it's angel food cake.
Yeah. And then the filling mixed with the strawberry things, those are super sweet. So it kind of I don't know.
Okay. Well.
All right. Here we go. Pumpkin pie. I like it. I don't know why, but I like pumpkin pie.
I do like pumpkin pie.
I don't know why.
That was number five.
Yeah. Number five is pumpkin. Pumpkin chunkin.
I thought it would be closer like in the top three.
I guarantee you, if we had our 11 listeners all sitting here in a circle, half hate it. I can't guarantee that, I'm guessing.
Okay, well, let us know.
But
since there's only 11 of
when
you.
When you ask people, like our friends that we don't ever invite over, we'll
that
say.
That we don't have.
We'll say, you guys love pumpkin pie? And they're like, nah, not so much. Lemon meringue. Absolutely, I love lemon meringue.
Nope.
What?
No.
See, there you go.
Mm-mm. I don't like the meringue. I'll eat the crust.
Okay. All right, here we go. This is what I'm talking about. Number three, pecan.
Yes.
I think it should be two, personally.
Yes. Love pecan.
I will skip everything else to go for the pecan because it's like 10,000 calories a slice.
You know who makes a really great pecan pie?
Who?
Your oldest brother.
Oh, is he making one?
No.
He said he's putting a pie in Thursday. That's what he wanted to know when we're showing up.
He's not making a pecan pie. He is making a key lime pie, which is his...
Second best
pie that he makes.
Okay, then we'll bring a pecan pie from the grocery store.
I'm sure somebody else is bringing a pecan pie.
Well, what if?
I'm just saying the best I've ever had was your brother.
Okay.
In pie, not in any
I'll text
place.
Him and say, hey, we just wanted to let you know that we love your pecan pie. And then, but that's it. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Number two, chocolate pie.
Yes.
No, can't stand it. Gross.
Gosh. Why are we even together?
I can't laugh. I'm going to cough.
How did this relationship even start?
I guess. If it's covered in vanilla ice cream, maybe.
No, they usually have fresh whipped cream on top, some sprinkles.
All right. Well, number one, everyone's going to agree, especially me. Number one's going to be apple.
No.
What? What no. is wrong with you? Are you serious?
I like the crust.
Well, you know,
I don't like the inside.
You know, we've gotten down to two and haven't said apple yet. Where is apple supposed to fall in here?
I forgot that there's 10? Such a thing as apple.
Oh,
okay. No, apple's okay. Gosh. I don't necessarily like the middle, but I like the sweetness of the crust with vanilla ice cream.
It depends on how the filling is cooked, the type of apples. If it's a really good homemade apple pie, then it's fabulous. The kind of blah ones from the store, yeah, they're gross.
Okay. I think I've only had Costco.
They're pretty good.
Are they?
I think so.
Well, I'll have to get one then, won't I?
You have to like anything at Costco because you have to justify why the hell you battled just to find a parking spot, stood in line to show your ID, just to get in there to buy a damn pie.
I don't know why we even have a Costco membership anymore. Really. All right, well, that was fun. Thank you for that, darling.
You're welcome.
Daniel.
Yes, sweet wife.
Dearest, are you ready for my case?
Dearest wife, I'm ready for your case.
You are? All right. Well, this is the case of Joseph Kenneth and Kathleen Wise.
Awesome.
All right, Daniel, I got a picture for you.
All right, lay it on me. Let me see.
This is the couple.
Okay. All right. Well, goodness, she's banging.
She's got a heavy bang.
She's got a lot of bang going on.
And you can tell he's a little bit older than her.
He appears to be a couple of years older, her senior.
But they're a nice looking older couple.
Should I guess how much older he is?
Yes, guess.
She's probably looks older than she actually is. I'm going to go with 20 years older.
Nope.
Less?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
15.
11.
That's it?
Yeah. Oh, goodness. That's it.
Looks quite a bit older. All right. I think it's the bangs. It makes her look young. Gives her that.
Oh, because it hides the forehead wrinkles?
Right. Exactly. I should grow my bangs out. That'll... What do you think? Instead of Botox? Because you're like, you need Brotox. I'm like, no, that's weird. So if I got the bangs coming down right here.
Let's do it. Well, why don't we
just comb it forward? Instead of coming over, I just comb forward.
Well, why don't we just have you try the frownies that I use every night?
I don't know what that is. What's a
those
frownie?
Those patches that are on my forehead.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, sure. We'll put those on your head. We'll
cover
tonight.
My face in patches.
All right. Well, you ready? Let's do this.
I'm ready.
Around 9 a.m. on Wednesday, June 8th, 2011, in the rural town of Campbellsville, Kentucky, the Taylor County coroner and local funeral director, Terry Dabney, received a phone call that 71-year-old Joseph Kenneth Wise had been found dead in his bed earlier that morning by his wife of over 37 years, Kathleen Wise. And Joseph went by his middle name, which was Kenneth. So I'm going to refer to him as Kenneth. So
I'm glad you didn't start out with he was found dead in his bed from a blow to his head.
No, he was just found dead in his bed.
Okay.
Terry, the coroner, and the local funeral director drove the 5 miles out of town to the Wise's property, which housed a small family farm. When Terry arrived at the home, he was greeted by the Wise's son, who lived nearby, and Kenneth's wife, 60-year-old Kathleen. Both were grief-stricken. I mean, obviously, her husband of 37 years is dead in bed, and their son is there, Like, obviously, they're going to be pretty upset about that,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Terry was led down the hallway to Kenneth's bedroom, where he found him lying on the bed, covered with blankets, and Kenneth looked to be asleep. After checking his vitals, Kenneth Wise was pronounced dead at the scene. He appeared to have died peacefully in his sleep. Kathleen, a registered nurse who worked at a very prestigious retirement home in town, told Terry that Kenneth had not been feeling well the night before. He had woken up with chest pains. Kathleen gave Kenneth one of his nitroglycerin pills, and he went back to sleep. Over the last decade, Kenneth had been suffering with multiple heart-related issues and had even had a heart attack, which required surgery. Before beginning her day, around 8 a.m., Kathleen went into Kenneth's room to check on him and found him unresponsive and without a pulse.
So you said she went into his room?
Yes.
Like they have his and hers rooms?
They do.
Goodness. Okay.
So they're sleeping in the same room.
Well, I mean, maybe they annoy each other in the whole sleeping situation.
I could see how that could happen.
I mean, we're almost there.
We are.
So.
In 37 years of marriage. Holy cow.
I could see that. Hell, I'm surprised people don't live in separate houses. Goodness. I got to say this is funny. It's not funny. I always hear when someone has to take nitroglycerin pills, and it reminds me of the line from Christmas Vacation where the uncle tells the aunt that can't hear. You couldn't hear a dump truck driving through a nitroglycerin plant because obviously the whole thing would explode.
Yes.
These are the thoughts that enter my head. I'm sorry.
Yes. These are the thoughts that I now get to share with 11 people.
You're welcome. And that's why we're almost sleeping apart.
Oh, geez. To Terry, Kenneth's death, although sad, was very routine. He had died in his sleep from a possible heart attack. Kenneth's body was removed from the home and prepared for burial. But before being embalmed, Terry took a blood sample and urine sample from Kenneth. Now, this was something that was not required, but something that Terry routinely did. Campbellsville is a small retirement community where the retirement and convalescent homes almost outnumber the local churches.
I was going to also ask, how do you declare a prestigious retirement home or nursing home?
Because it was the best in town.
Okay.
And there's multiple upon multiple facilities in this town.
Gotcha. So this is like the cream of the crop of nursing homes.
Is what I read. Yes.
Okay.
If an older community member passes away unattended or not in the care of a hospital or a physician, Terry always took a blood and urine sample and sent them off to the toxicology lab just in case.
Well, that's probably wise.
Yeah, he just wanted to make sure he was kind of touching all his bases, right?
Sure. Playing baseball, touching all the bases.
Usually receiving the results in 2 to 3 weeks. On Tuesday, June 28th, after Kenneth's body had been in the ground for almost 3 weeks, Terry received the written toxicology report on the 71-year-old. Expecting to see the normal amounts of medication in Kenneth's system, Terry was shocked to see that Kenneth had an extremely high amount of morphine in his system. Like crazy high amount of morphine.
Oh, gosh.
He had 5,738 nanograms per milliliter in his blood. Now, a fatal dose of morphine is around 200 milliliters. And for therapeutic purposes, people are given 8 to 10 milliliters of morphine.
Gotcha.
So Kenneth's cause of death was not heart-related. He had died from an overdose of morphine.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, at least he died not in pain.
Right. And that's something that they tried to comfort the family with. But yeah. Still, I mean, that's awful.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Morphine is considered a narcotic and is used to treat moderate to severe pain. It is derived from opium and has a high risk for addiction and dependency. So did Kenneth do this to himself, or had someone given it to him? Was the much-loved and mild-mannered Kenneth accidentally overdosed, or was this intentional? But who had access to so much morphine? Could it have been his wife, Kathleen, who was a working nurse?
Well, I mean, that seems like that would be obvious, but I mean, because I'm sure in a nursing situation, there's morphine all over the place.
There sure is. Because
that's kind of a standard thing, right? Mm-hmm. And when you're in pain, they give you more, I mean, severe pain, where you're freaking out.
Kenneth, an Army veteran, and Kathleen were married in 1974. This was the second marriage for both. Each had a child from their previous relationship and proceeded to have two children together, a modern-day blended family. Kenneth worked as a long-haul trucker, and Kathleen stayed home with the children. After a decade of marriage and the children more or less grown, Kathleen went back to school. She became a registered nurse and was immediately hired at one of Campbellsville's many nursing homes. Kathleen was intelligent, great with the patients, and did her job very well. With her new responsibilities, Kathleen spent less and less time at home.
Well, unfortunately, that's tough for her. If he's a truck driver, and I'm assuming he probably did some long-haul driving. I don't know that.
Yeah, he was a long-haul trucker.
Okay, so maybe, did you just say that and I missed it?
I did. It's okay.
I'm sorry. Anyway, that's got to be really tough.
I think it was.
So then you kind of grow apart, and then the kids are gone. It's like, well, all right, now I'm going to start over a little bit.
Kids can kind of fend for themselves.
I could see that, very likely.
In the early 2000s, the couple officially became empty nesters. And due to his chronic heart issues and surgeries, Kenneth retired from the road and spent his days at the farm with his horses and cattle. By 2011, the couple were basically living separate lives and sleeping in separate bedrooms.
Yeah.
On June 6th, just 2 days before Kenneth's death, he was at a family birthday party alone.
What?
Kathleen refused to go. To his family and friends, he was happy and in good spirits, a much-loved member of his family and the Campbellsville community. So what I'm trying to get at is that Kenneth was very liked within this rural community and within his large family. And Kathleen tended to kind of keep her distance a little bit.
Like she kind of checked out a little bit from all that?
Yeah, it seemed like it had started slowly and then she just really wasn't heavily involved in the family anymore. She really just went to work.
Yeah.
That was kind of her thing. She was a grandma and she went to work.
So she started a work life.
She did.
After they became empty nesters.
No, even before that.
Oh, okay.
But after they became empty nesters, she kind of started living her separate life.
Right.
I believe in what I was reading, that's kind of what I gathered.
Okay.
Now, the county coroner, Terry, made sure that what he was seeing on the toxicology report was actually correct and not a misprint. So on July 7th, he phoned the local sheriff with his findings and his suspicions. Kenneth had been intentionally poisoned by someone close to him, someone who had access to morphine on a regular basis, presuming it was his wife, Kathleen.
Sure.
The sheriff agreed with Terry and had Kenneth's body exhumed from the grave in secret. But because he had been embalmed and he had been in the ground for 6 weeks, his death was still considered undetermined because they couldn't get anything from it because it was embalmed, right?
And they didn't do an autopsy.
Because he died in his sleep at home.
Right.
From what they presumed was a heart-related issue.
Okay.
But what they did discover from exhuming the body was that Kenneth had not died from a heart attack.
Nope.
So that was ruled out. On July 14th, Kathleen was invited down to the sheriff's office for a little interview. No big deal. We're just going to talk to you a little bit more.
Sure.
She appeared quiet, scared, and a little cold. They said she was shivering, so it must have been cold in there.
Oh.
The investigators asked the 60-year-old grandmother to walk them through the day leading up to Kenneth's death. She told them that Kenneth stayed in bed for most of Tuesday. She believed her husband had caught some sort of virus. And then that night, she had heard some sort of commotion in the bathroom and found Kenneth leaning against the windowsill, holding the towel rack that had broken off in his hand because she believed that he had fallen. And Kenneth had also had surgery on his knee in the recent months. So he wasn't very stable.
Yeah, that's a 71-year-old man with heart issues, knee surgery. That's pretty.
I'm sure back issues because usually what ends up happening to long haul truckers.
Yeah.
Kathleen gave him a nitroglycerin pill and then put him back to bed. Kathleen heard him snoring around 5:30 a.m., but when she checked on him between 8 and 8:30 a.m., he was dead. She had attempted CPR, but knew it was too late. I mean, she was a registered nurse. She knew what was up.
Yeah.
And Kathleen's first phone call was into work. And then she called Kenneth's brother. And then she finally called 911.
Well, I mean, I guess she's confident knowing that nothing can be done. She's like, well, calling 911 isn't going to...
Yeah, I might as well call in late to work.
Yeah, I'm going to be delayed.
I found my husband dead, so right. I'm going to call in and tell him I'm going to be like an hour late.
I guess. I don't know what you would do in that situation. You would think everyone would call 911, but it's hard to say what pops into your head.
It is hard to say what you would do if you were in that situation. Kathleen denied any knowledge of the morphine overdose, but did agree to a polygraph exam in the next few days. 5 days later, on the 19th, Kathleen was taken in for a routine polygraph test at the Louisville Metro Police Department.
Why? There's no point.
To kind of rule her out as a suspect.
Oh, okay.
Because he had overdosed and they figured he didn't do it to himself. And where could he have gotten the morphine?
Okay.
So she was, you know, top suspect.
So she's saying, I didn't do it. If it helps me, give me a polygraph because I'll pass it because I didn't do anything wrong.
Exactly. That's probably exactly what she said.
All right.
Now, I'm going to read to you the form that she signed before she took this polygraph exam. I, Kathleen Wise, voluntarily, without threats, duress, coercion, force, promises of immunity or reward, agree and stipulate to take a polygraph examination for the mutual benefit of myself, Louisville Metro Police Department. I fully realize that I am not required to take this examination. I may remain silent the entire time I am here. Anything I may say can be used against me in any court of law. I may first consult with an attorney or anyone I wish to before either signing this form or taking the examination. I may have an attorney present in the building. If I cannot afford an attorney and desire one, an attorney will be appointed for me prior to my questioning, and I have the opportunity to exercise all these rights at any time I wish to during the entire time I am here. I consent to the use of electronic hearing and recording devices, and I voluntarily request and authorize the Louisville Metro Police Department to now proceed with the examination. What does that sound like to you?
Goodness.
Does that sound like you're being read your Miranda rights?
A little bit.
That you're being Mirandized?
But if they're not admissible, but it says that anything that she says could be used against her.
Right. Exactly. Because lie detector tests or polygraph exams are not admissible in court. But anything you say during that test could be used against you in a court of law.
So the results of the exam are not admissible.
Right. But whatever you say in that exam is admissible.
Gotcha.
If you sign this.
So if she agrees to it and then they ask her a pointed question and she says something that kind of doesn't jive.
That can be
they could use it against her.
Right. But they can't say, oh, her heart rate was up at this time.
Interesting.
Yeah. So she agreed to it and signed it.
Idiot.
No.
Never do that. Never do that.
At the conclusion of the polygraph examination, Kathleen was told that she had, quote unquote, reacted to the test and that now was her opportunity to tell them the truth.
What?
They can say that to anybody, FYI.
Oh.
They can tell you that you didn't pass that test, even if you did pass that test. Sorry. Don't take a polygraph. Promise me, 11 listeners, raise your hand. Do not take a polygraph exam.
Can I bring up a similarity from a movie? A relatable similarity?
Sorry, I'm taking a drink of water. Yes, go ahead.
The beginning of Ghostbusters, the original one.
Oh, when they're shocking the guy?
When they're shocking the guy, and then the girl, even though she's getting the answers wrong, he's like, that's correct.
Because he doesn't want to shock her, and then he asks her out for coffee.
Yeah.
Oh, these so are all like, classics you're talking about today, sir.
Reacted like, oh my gosh, you failed.
Zzz.
Anyway, sorry.
Well, Kathleen decided.
That's all I'm picturing while you're doing this is that scene from Ghostbusters.
Oh, my goodness.
So go ahead.
All right. Well, Kathleen decided that she would go ahead and tell them the truth.
What?
She told the investigators that she took a lot of morphine home with her on June 6th. So the day before he was found. This morphine was taken from the Medco nursing facility where she was employed, storing it in a glass jar when she arrived home. So she didn't give the amount of morphine that she stole. What she said was that she took a lot of the morphine home.
Okay, I don't know anything about morphine, but I'm guessing a little bit goes a long way.
It does. Mm-hmm.
So when she's talking about, like, I'm picturing like a mason jar. She says a jar.
Yeah, she's I'm picturing, she stored you know, it in a glass
like
jar.
A Whole Foods mayonnaise jar, you know.
Something like that. And then on June 7th, Kathleen put it in a glass of drinking water and served it to Kenneth. Because it doesn't have a taste.
He took it orally? He drank it?
Yes. It's a clear liquid.
Oh, she didn't inject him.
No, he drank it.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Yeah. Telling the investigators that she felt bad about having given him so much and that she shouldn't have done it. But she was not trying to kill him. Kathleen admitted to problems in the couple's marriage and that they had not verbally communicated with one another for the last 2.5 months. And that Kenneth had asked their son to call Kathleen and ask her for a divorce. She told the son that she did not personally want a divorce and that she had recently relayed that information to Kenneth herself before his death. Now, this is what she's telling investigators after the polygraph.
So, okay. So her story is he was hurting, so I gave him some morphine to, like, let him rest.
It sounds like that, right? But it wasn't.
Well, no, obviously.
No, because I'm going to read her statement.
Oh, okay, good.
Then she goes ahead and gives a statement, which kind of contradicts her a little bit. My husband was not a very nice person to me. I mean, I didn't want him to die. I didn't want to kill him, but you know, he was so controlling. I had no rights. You know, I worked. I would get $350 out of my paycheck and he got the rest. He would buy things and not tell me. None of this is an excuse for killing anybody, and I'm not making excuses for myself. I'm not. And then she goes on to tell the investigators that Kenneth would push her around a little bit. And then when the investigators asked her what she had expected to accomplish by giving her husband water mixed with morphine, she replied, I had not even thought about it before. I had not deliberated on anything like that. I just was thinking, you know, tonight, I can just maybe get some peace. I can just sit here and not have to worry about him screaming at me about something. An investigator then asked her, you just thought he would go to sleep? And then she replied, I just thought he'd have a good night's sleep. And then she later stated, intentionally, I can never kill anyone, no matter how bad they were to me. I just couldn't do it. So are we getting a picture here?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
He wanted to divorce her, right?
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Okay. Yes.
So just say yes. And then she doesn't have to deal with all this anymore. And she doesn't have to listen to screaming and whatever rights she thinks she doesn't have, she'll get them back.
Exactly.
So that doesn't make any sense.
And that's the biggest question of this case, is why wouldn't you just get a divorce?
Yeah, because she's got a good job. She's younger. She's 11 years younger than him, right?
Yeah, and with those bangs.
She's banging.
I mean, she's banging. Damn it, you took my joke.
She. Okay, you say it.
No, go ahead.
She's still got a lot of life left in her. She could be rid of him, and then she doesn't have to deal with him anymore.
Right. She can move closer into town.
And he's already collecting Social Security because he's 71 and all that good stuff. He can go sit in a room by himself and be miserable. And then she can go live out her days as a nurse.
Yeah, and maybe meet a sugar daddy.
Yeah.
In one of those nursing homes.
In a prestigious nursing home.
Get it, Kathleen? Kathleen, we had your life all set out for you.
I don't get it.
Well.
But whatever.
Following Kathleen's confession, she was transported back to Taylor County and placed under arrest. Friends, family, and especially their kids were shocked. The children did say that the marriage was rocky, but it was not as bad as Kathleen was claiming, that they had never seen or experienced Kenneth's verbal or physical abuse towards their mother, Kathleen. They're saying they never saw anything or heard anything, so they don't understand where this is coming from. But let's play devil's advocate a little bit, because they had been empty nesters for over a decade. So maybe things started to deteriorate over that decade when nobody else was in that house.
So they kind of held back because the kids were there. But once the kids were gone, he could just unleash holy hell on her.
Yeah. And he was in a lot of pain.
Right.
And he was at home most of the time and she was working. But nobody, in all the stuff that I read, nobody ever had a negative thing to say about Kenneth.
All right.
So you can be a good actor, but nobody's that great of an actor that a little bit of your true personality or intention is not going to come out at some time.
Well, there's something about him she doesn't like.
Okay. All right.
I mean, he was annoying enough that she gave him morphine mixed with water.
Yeah. All right. Well, while interviewing coworkers at the nursing home, investigators learned that Kathleen had access to all the medications and drugs.
Okay.
When a bottle of morphine is opened, all the liquid needs to be used, or whatever is left must be destroyed. You can't reuse it. You can't use whatever's left in that vial.
Gotcha.
Investigators audited the morphine within the facility and found that on three separate occasions, Kathleen administered morphine and the leftover liquid was never disposed of according to the destruction log. So they believe that she pocketed those.
Okay.
There were also morphine vials missing that had been checked out to Kathleen, but she never signed the destruction log for those particular vials either.
Okay.
So we have multiple vials. What made this even more interesting was that these incidents happened months prior. So they're saying that this was premeditated.
Yeah. Yeah. She was thinking about it.
Yeah. She'd been planning this for a few months. And then we say, allegedly.
Well, maybe she was just planning ahead, you know, because.
For something.
I mean, okay, this would be my story. I would say, well, he's been in a lot of pain off and on. He's had some issues. So I just thought if I had it on hand, if something came up, I could administer some to him so that he could then sleep. That would, at least that'd be my argument.
Okay.
If I were her.
Yeah.
Say, yes, I took it. That was wrong. Whatever.
I was kind of thinking that too.
But I couldn't get a prescription for morphine. It's almost impossible. So I stole it because I wanted it on hand because he's in really bad shape. And I know sometimes that's what it takes to get people to sleep or, you know, get out of pain. And he's really violent when he's in pain, blah, 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 blah. I would cook up a really good story. It wouldn't be that hard.
You're a good liar.
I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. And then go, yeah, so I did. I absolutely stole it. And this is why.
No, I thought of that too. Mm-hmm. That would have probably been my go-to
lie
too.
And I accidentally overdosed him, but it wasn't my intent.
On August 2nd, Kathleen was officially indicted for the intentional murder of her husband, Joseph Kenneth Wise. If convicted, she could spend 20 years to life in state prison. On July 30th, 2012, the trial began in Springfield, Kentucky, located in Washington County. The venue was changed due to the massive amount of publicity about this case in Taylor County. This was such a small town. There was only like 9,000 people in this town, by the way.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
So it was such a small town and area that everyone knew everyone. And from the information that I was able to find, Kenneth was a member of a very large family and was loved by all that knew him.
Oh, okay. So the 6 degrees of separation.
Right. It was more like two.
It was two, yeah, mm-hmm. for everyone.
The question being asked by all was, can a 60-year-old grandma with no prior criminal history be capable of premeditated murder? Yes, everyone is capable of premeditated murder.
Yeah.
That's my answer to that question. And poisoning her husband to death with 30 times the lethal dose of morphine.
Since she didn't administer it in a
syringe,
how could you know how it would affect the body being taken orally?
Exactly.
And she mixed it with water. So obviously, if you inject it directly into the bloodstream, it's going to have an immediate effect as opposed to drinking it. It may not. I don't know.
Yeah, it just kind of makes you sleepy and then you fall asleep and then everything stops.
It would be one thing if she attempted to kill him multiple times using morphine. Then that's clearly, there's a track record of it. But this was one time and the one time killed him.
Well, we'll talk about that more
okay. When
we at the end. Yeah. All right. The state told the jury in their opening statement that Kathleen had taken the morphine from her job in the 2 months leading up to Kenneth's death. She was a registered nurse for almost 30 years. She knew how much morphine would put him to sleep and how much would kill him, even just putting it in water. And if this had all been a tragic accident, why had she kept it a secret? And why didn't she call 911 sooner, like right after she gave it to him?
Yeah.
The state was able to show the jury Kathleen's videotaped confession, which the defense tried to have thrown out of the evidence, but the state was able to use it during the trial.
So those of you listening and contemplating killing your significant other, make sure you get a lawyer and don't agree to a polygraph test is what we're all learning here, I think.
Boy. With the physical evidence and the confession, the state believed that Kenneth's death had been premeditated. And the witnesses on the stand all corroborated their theory. Kathleen intentionally gave Kenneth a massive amount of morphine and let him die, believing his heart would be blamed for his untimely death. During their opening statements, the defense attacked Kenneth's character, stating that there was evidence of mental and physical abuse towards Kathleen in their 37-year marriage, that Kathleen just wanted some peace and quiet for the night. She was so upset and agitated by Kenneth screaming that she accidentally put in too much of the liquid. Instead of putting him to sleep, she killed him. This was a tragic accident and not intentional. But my question is, if you're going to put it like that, then it sounded like to me that she had put him to sleep with morphine before.
Yeah, like if she tried it to see what it would do.
Why would this be the very first time that she had done this?
I don't know.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what my wheels were turning.
If I were a defense attorney, though, that's the line I would use, absolutely.
Was what?
That because she was just agitated and he was screaming her and he wasn't in his right mind and blah, 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 you know, whatever. And she was like, oh, my God, okay. And just wanted it to end and she wasn't paying attention and put too much. And
okay, so what I would have said as a defense attorney is she'd done this multiple times before with Kenneth's blessing. But at this time, he was in so much pain and she was so worried and agitated that she put too much in this time and that's what killed him.
Oh, I like that.
That's what I would have said.
I like that because he's dead, so there's no way to prove that.
Right. But that this was a thing that they had done for the last few weeks because he was in so much pain, especially from his knee surgery.
Which would explain why she got it a couple of months prior.
Exactly.
She could say, well, I've actually been administering him morphine mixed with water so he could sleep.
And that is why there was so much in his system, is because it had been happening on a regular basis.
Right.
Ooh, if you want to hire me, you can't, because I don't have a law degree.
The thing is people actually start to build up a tolerance towards morphine.
So then you have to give them more.
Yeah.
And more.
Yep.
All right. Don't do that, though, you guys. Don't kill your spouse with morphine.
But don't do that. Just
don't kill your spouse. Get a divorce.
Just divorce them, especially if they're already asking for it.
All right. Well, the defense never called any of their own witnesses. They just cross-examined the state's witnesses. And they never called Kathleen to the stand. So she just kind of sat there the whole time.
So when they interviewed her as a client, they determined that would be a mistake.
Yes.
Is basically what that means.
That's what I think, too.
Yeah.
The defense was able to get one of the investigators to admit on the stand that they could not find a true motive in this case. There was not a significant life insurance policy, nor was the property worth very much. So financial gain was not a motive in this case, which is like 99% of all the cases we do have some sort of financial gain.
And if they got divorced, it wouldn't be like she lost something. She would only actually gain.
Yeah, then she wouldn't gain have to deal her with income him. Because he's got Social Security and hopefully retirement.
She wouldn't have to pay him alimony. At least I don't think so. No.
I wouldn't think so.
I seriously doubt it. So they would just go their separate ways, sell the house, take what little equities in it, or split whatever money they have.
Right. So what was the point in killing him? If you're not going to gain anything from it.
That's what I would say as a defense attorney. Say, look, she did not have anything to gain. In fact, she should have divorced him. And he wanted to divorce. If she really didn't want him around, she could have just divorced him, which means she didn't intend to kill him.
So she didn't purposely murder her husband.
Case closed. The end.
I even wrote right here, I said, I would have thought that since the defense was going the accidental poisoning route because Kathleen just wanted peace for the night, why didn't they have at least one witness that could say, yes, Kenneth was a big a-hole to Kathleen. He treated her terribly their entire marriage. But there was no one, not even the kids who lived within that home for most of their lives. Nobody was up on that stand saying, yeah, Kenneth was a big old jerk.
So they
he wasn't.
They couldn't find a single person.
No.
Goodness.
But that's not to say that abuse can't happen without any witnesses, but it just seemed like there would be someone who witnessed something at some time.
Yeah.
Like anything. And her coworkers also said that she never complained about Kenneth. So she didn't go home or women, she didn't go to work and bitch about him.
Yeah. And women complain to other women about their a-hole husbands.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
In general, women complain about their husbands at work on a regular basis.
There was a time in your life where you found yourself dressing women's hair, right?
Yes.
Would you say there was ever a time that you ever got confided into with details of their miserable marriage?
100%.
There you go. Okay.
So you want to know something crazy?
Always.
I had a client who told me that she was having an affair.
Oh, I bet.
And her husband was also a client of mine. Oh, so that was fun.
You truly got the like counselor position on both sides.
And then she expected me to be super happy for her when she got pregnant. And all I could ask, because I'm Melissa, is it your husband's or the guy that you're sleeping with on the side? Oh. And she laughed and thought that was hilarious that I asked her that.
But
because I was the only one knew that she was having an affair.
And did she ever answer?
No, she just laughed. Because it's me.
Do you know whose child it was?
I hope it was her husband's.
Oh, God.
I know. Hey, what's up, Chico?
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, all right, let's keep going. All right.
That took a turn.
Yes.
So the point is, no one complained or found anything wrong with Kenneth.
Nothing.
That's the bottom line.
Nothing. Okay. On August 1st, the case was handed over to the jury. After deliberating for an entire 45 minutes.
Oh, that long, huh?
They were back with a verdict.
And they took a lunch break in there, too.
Kathleen Wise was guilty of the intentional murder of her husband, Kenneth.
All right.
According to people in that courtroom, Kathleen showed almost zero emotion, except when she rolled her eyes after the verdict was announced.
She rolled her eyes.
Girl rolled her eyes.
Whatever.
Ugh, you guys are so dumb. 20 minutes later, the 61-year-old was sentenced to life in prison. Now, if Coroner Terry had not sent off the urine and blood sample to the toxicologist, no one would have ever known that Kathleen had killed him, accidental or premeditated.
Which just goes to show you need to do some homework as to who your local coroner is before you start doing this stuff.
And funeral director.
Seriously.
Remember, he was the funeral director in town, too.
Look all this stuff up before you start premeditating things.
Well, the question remains, why did she kill him?
I don't know.
Why not just get a divorce?
I think he was super annoying because she had to take care of him and she didn't want to.
Because she was busy taking care of all these other people.
But, okay, let me start the uncomfortable discussion, husband versus wife and roles and all that stuff.
Oh, geez.
Okay, so was she basically a stay-at-home mom while he was working? That's what I gathered,
yes,
right?
For the first decade or so of their marriage.
All right. So he worked really hard to provide, and they raised their kids, and she didn't have to work.
Well, they had four kids all together.
No. Okay, but she didn't have to work and do that. What I'm saying is they made it, you know, that he did that.
Yeah, because childcare is so freaking expensive. So.
Okay, so he worked his whole life and killed himself because you're basically dead after driving truck for 20 or 30 years.
Okay.
Your body is trashed.
Okay.
It really is. I'm surprised he didn't die from a stroke, heart attack, all that anyway, just from driving a truck. So then she then goes, okay, now it's my turn. I'm going to go to work. Except she was annoyed that she got to go. She went to work and he got to stay home and just sit there.
But that was the last 10 years of their marriage when they were empty nesters.
I'm just saying, like, that's the twist, is she didn't really want to do that anymore.
Didn't want to do what?
Come home to him just sitting there. And there's nothing there. There's no marriage, really. It's over.
Well, you kind of nailed it because I was reading where friends had said that she wouldn't go home after her shift. She would go to Walmart and walk around or read her book out in the Walmart parking lot. And she waited until she knew he went to bed and then she would go home.
Yeah, that's
and then she'd get up in the morning and go back to work.
Because she didn't want to have to even deal with him.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on behind closed doors.
But no, I know.
Nobody said anything about Kenneth not being a good guy. So there you go. That's it. That's all we got. That's all we got to go on.
And she actually gambled and probably would have won. Except for the coroner, Terry, is really the bottom line.
Because she did his job.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll give him an overdose of morphine. He's going to die. Everyone's going to think it was an accident. And that's it. No one will be the wiser.
Probably.
And she was almost correct.
Damn it, Terry.
So you say, well,
why? She almost got away with it, too.
Yeah, so she had no feelings for him anymore, so much so that she was willing to basically give him an early death.
Which is so stupid. Just get a freaking divorce.
Well, he's already 71 with heart problems. How much longer is he going to live anyway?
Yeah.
Do you think he'd live to 81?
Maybe. He could just go live with someone from his family.
Maybe that's her fear, is that she didn't want to have to take care of him.
I don't know.
She didn't want to wipe his butt.
I don't want to wipe your butt.
I'm planning on wiping yours. Goodness. Oh, I could see where this is going.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was just a joke. You know, I'll take care of you.
I'm not drinking any more water you bring me.
How am I going to get morphine?
I don't know. If you get a job as a nurse, oh my gosh.
Oh, that's never going to happen. My bedside manner would just get me fired immediately.
Probably.
All right. Well, fun fact, Kathleen Wise died.
What?
At the age of 69 on May 4th, 2020 at the Kentucky Correctional Institute for Women. I could not find anything about her cause of death.
Wait.
Really doesn't matter. But
no, it was May 4th, 2020,
I know. You're going to say COVID.
It was COVID.
You're always going to say
because COVID. Anyone that died after January of 2020 to 2022 was COVID.
In correctional facilities.
You didn't hear about the outbreak of deaths from COVID in correctional facilities?
Yes, there was a lot. Agreeing with you.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Well, I did read her obituary, and I got a little bit of a, not a chuckle, but I was like, because they never mentioned that she was in prison or that she had been convicted of murdering her husband. It was all up to before 2011.
It seems like a fairly important detail that's left out.
They didn't add that to her obituary. Yep.
Okay.
Well, Daniel, what did you think of my case?
That was interesting. That was fascinating.
All right. We've never had death by morphine before.
No.
Mm-mm. Well, my sources for this case were all the articles I could possibly find. And there's a Snapped episode that I had to buy.
How much?
$2 YouTube.
Stop.
Because they only had it on YouTube. And I found Kathleen's appeal records, which, you know, I get super excited when I find those court documents or appeal records.
Yeah. Okay.
So I got excited. I did a little jig.
Fun.
That's my case, ladies and gentlemen.
Good job.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, it's sad. And we're still sitting here scratching our heads over it.
Yeah.
As usual.
And I probably should have been a defense attorney.
Well, it's not too late.
Yes, it is.
When our kids grow up and leave in 35 years.
No. I'm done with school.
You can go back to school and become a nurse like Kathleen.
No, thank you.
And I can sit at home just screaming in pain and...
I divorce you.
I would be like, can you get me some morphine, please? Just a little bit. Not too much, let me go.
A little bit. If you are enjoying our show, please go rate and review us on Apple Podcast or on Spotify.
Positively.
Yes, positively. If you are not enjoying our show, there's a million other true crime couple podcasts out there. So go find one that fits you.
Or find another one to rate negatively.
No, most of them are our friends. Do not go rate negatively our friends.
That's not really what I meant. Oh. I meant listen to another one. Never mind.
Go listen to someone else.
Just listen to ours and enjoy it and then...
Go find our friends.
Sure.
If you have any case suggestions, please email me at tilldeathdoaspart@att.net.
Or amazing pie recipes that you think would be helpful.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Because that'd be cool to make a couple of yummy pies. Now it's too late for Thanksgiving, but like leading into Christmas or something.
Okay. Sounds good. Melissa, maybe I'll post those.
Melissa loves to bake.
No.
And so that would be cool for me because I would...
No, I'm not a baker.
Receive the...
receive the pie. Yeah. Not sexually.
Why are you? I'm talking about food. Seriously, I now want pie.
Okay, honey. I'll give you some pie.
Oh, goodness. Crusty pie.
Oh. All right. Well, be careful.
For marriage is a life sentence,
and divorce is always the better option.
Yeah. Don't use the morphine. It doesn't work.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye.
Enjoy. Bye.